and welcome to the latest episode of Soul Sisters. I'm Georgie Crawford.
Hi, and I'm Claire Solan. This is the podcast that guarantees you plenty of laughs and lovely white smiles. And that is thanks to our great partner, Colgate Max White Ultra. It whitens your teeth in just 3 days.
Yes, and we are living proof, and I think that we are great ambassadors for Colgate Max White Ultra. And did you know what, Claire? Not only does it whiten your teeth in 3 days, but it's a great conversation starter, as we learned from our live show in the Sugar Club. It is available in stores nationwide, so make sure you check it out.
So the first place we need to start is last Monday. It was a big day for both of us. You can talk about what happened to you. I'll talk about what happened to me in a few weeks' time when I've digested it. But tell us, you ended up in A&E.
Yeah, so we recorded the podcast last Monday. It was going out on Tuesday, and I had mentioned that I had a really bad pain in the right side of my stomach. It was just underneath my belly button. Now, Jamie had been away in London. I was kind of powering through, but by the time he walked through the door, we had just finished recording the podcast. I was like, Jamie, I can't stand up. And Jamie said it might be your appendix. And when I heard the word appendix, I was like, oh no, like who has time for an emergency operation in a week? So I was like, oh God, please make it not be my appendix. So anyway, I said, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go to bed. All my charts and things are in the Beacon. Their A&E is closed, so I'll just get up first thing tomorrow morning, go to A&E. So I had a really uncomfortable sleep. Like, it literally felt like something was going to burst inside of me. I started to really panic. Now, I get really bad ovulation pain, so I was like, it has to be that, right? It has to be that. Anyway, got myself to A&E the next morning. Jamie said he'd follow me down. I was like, no, I'm grand. There's something about me that loves to go to hospital by myself.
Interesting.
Because I feel like when I go myself, it's not that much of a big deal. So I always wanted to go to chemotherapy by myself. I know a lot of my friends who've been through chemo also like to go by themselves. It's just like you're just kind of playing it down a little bit. So off I went to A&E. And I was sitting there and I was starting to kind of panic a little bit because I Googled something. And
Wait. Don't tell me. Can I just clarify? You were sitting in A&E. You were in the safe space and you decide to hit the internet. I know there's hundreds of doctors here, but I just want to check.
Yeah. And I wouldn't quite say the Beacon is my A&E and the Beacon is my safe space, but I decided to have a little Google and it said appendicitis, you know, very straightforward. This, loads of people get it in Ireland every year. It's one of the most common operations. But right, it can often be caused, and this is probably like one in a 1 million chance that it can be caused by a tumor. So obviously then I started to panic and this gorgeous doctor came in and he was doing all the checks and it was looking like appendicitis just on the kind of physical checks that he was doing and the pain that I was feeling. And I said to him, this is like, you know, I know it's inappropriate to put a doctor on the spot, but I kind of sometimes just kind of do. So I was like, this is definitely just, you know, an ovary or appendicitis or something like that, isn't it? And he was like, it could be so many things. Of course, he was giving me the diplomatic answer. And then I said, but do you think I'm dying? And he was like, sorry, what? And I was like, do you think there's a chance I'm dying?
First, oh, my God. Oh, no.
And in that moment, obviously, they can't answer that question because they can't even tell you you're not dying because they don't know. So anyway, I felt so awful for putting him on the spot and they did everything for me. But then it was all of a sudden I was getting a scan and Jamie came in. And I was sent down for a CT scan and it was all just, it was just too much for me. So I had my hand on my head and my head was turned this way. And just before I went down for the scan, I cried, I'd say 1,000 tears just fell out of my eyes. Now, I obviously didn't want to look, I'm very aware that I have PTSD, so I don't want to look like I'm being dramatic about things. So I was very discreetly crying to Jamie. But he looked at me and he was like, Georgie, you know, though, that you don't have cancer again. And I looked at him and I said, no, Jamie, every part of me thinks I have cancer again. And he was like, but how can you see that you don't? I was like, but how can you see that I do? And it was such a like, made me see in that moment, like how different, where my, how affected I was by my diagnosis. So yes. I went for the CT scan. They told me I might have to wait for 2 hours for the results, which is also amazing that you would get your results that quickly. But after 5 minutes of going back into A&E, the gorgeous doctor came out and he said, I have your results. Can you pop into my office? And he looked at Jamie and he said, you can come too. So I, at that moment, felt like I was walking the plank. Went in, everything was fine. Didn't have appendicitis. Didn't have cancer. Don't have a cyst on my ovaries.
Oh my God.
There was no explanation for what this pain was that I couldn't stand up with. And the doctor said to me, look, we're going to put it down to mid-cycle pain. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for coming here, for wasting your time. And he said, never apologize. But the way he cared, you know, I think in that moment when I was vulnerable with him and the assessment, he saw how upset I was. And he goes, look, when people come here and they've had cancer, it's always cancer in their head. Yes. And the way he said that made me be like, did he have cancer? Like, how does he understand me so much? But anyway, his name is Dr. Aidan. And I just wanted to give him such a shout out. If any soul sisters know him in the Beacon, in A&E, he saved me that day. And so off I came home with two paracetamol.
holy shit. It is such... I can wholly and completely empathize without having had the cancer. Like, I can understand that if anything goes wrong in your body, you will think, is it happening again?
Mm.
You know? And so in terms of the PTSD, have you thought, are you kind of going back to therapy, or what are you thinking? Or is it the time of year for you, or...
It's a number of things, but I was on to my friend Hillary a couple of days later, and she said, this is the perfect time to go to therapy because you have the all clear. You've had a full health check. Now, I'm still waiting on the results of my MRI of my breast, but she said, this is the time to go when you know that you're well and you can go in without a doubt in your mind. And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea, isn't it?
It's so true, because you can get to the root of the PTSD as opposed to worrying about what's going on in the present moment.
Yeah. So that was my week. It was a little bit... you know, so as I was getting into bed last night, I was like, I am so lucky that I am not carrying an illness at the moment. So I need to stop acting like I am. So that was my week. How was yours?
My God. Significantly easier than that. Vivian is here. I wouldn't usually let her, my kitten, I wouldn't usually let her in when the record is on. But she is in heat.
Oh,
for the first time. And boy, oh boy, has her behavior changed. So she is. So you were Googling, you were onto Dr. Google about your own symptoms. I have been onto Dr. Google or Google for to see what's going on with kittens when they're in heat. So what is that? I was asking today, like, what is the symptoms of it? And she's basically everything that she does is amped up. So it's not necessarily anything sexual per se, but she is more audible. She is more playful, and she is like sniffing everything, and she is dying to go outside all the time. Like, I cannot go to the front door or let any of the windows open more than a crack, because she'll be gone. She's jumped off the building a couple of times. And I'm on the first floor.
Maybe that's why all your neighbours have their cats on leads.
It's just a true story. My neighbours upstairs, awkwardly actually, my neighbour upstairs who has three cats, we occasionally meet in the hallway because we're walking our cats in the hallway. And her name is Vivian and my cat's name is Vivian. So I'm out there going, Vivian, Vivian. And a couple of times she'd come around the corner going, oh, it's the cat. I'm like, sorry, yeah, it's not you. But actually, this has brought me on to another point about another Vivian. Rosanna Davison has won Halloween. She dressed as Vivian Ward from Pretty Woman, and it's perfection.
I know, she looks amazing, doesn't she?
She is amazing anyway. But when she has the blonde wig, she has the black hat, she has the red jacket tied around her, she has that incredible blue and white dress that Vivian wears, and the big patent over the knee boots. She looks insane. And I had to laugh because in her caption on Instagram, she said, I can't get Wes to come as Richard Gere as Edward. So I don't know whether Wes ended up dressed as Edward from Pretty Woman, but she looked insane.
I know. I was sitting on my couch and Jamie was on the other couch and he opened his phone and all I hear is and I was just staring at him. I know what you're looking at. I saw it 10 minutes ago. You're looking at Rosanna Davison. So come here. Speaking of sexy celebs, I'm just back from the Dublin Marathon. Went down to Foster's Avenue with Jamie and Tal.
Yeah.
And stood on the side of the road cheering for everyone in the Dublin Marathon. You live near there. Do you normally go out and watch it?
I have never. Well, if I was passing, I would stop, all right, and go and support them. But I do live very close to Foster's Avenue. So I have seen the Warriors, the Foster's Avenue, because coming up that road that brings you up onto Foster's Avenue is like a lazy incline. Mm-hmm. And you're coming to the end. Like, aren't you coming to the end of it, I think, at that stage?
Yeah, ish.
So it's like, it's hell before you get back onto the dual carriageway.
Do you think your mum was out cheering for the people today?
Eileen actually normally would be, and she'd usually send a little message. Let me see. The last thing Eileen said in the family WhatsApp group was, clocks go back. Oh, hold the phone. She sent a video. Weather is good. Great support here for the runners.
Well done, lads.
Aww.
Tell me, who did you see?
Well, get onto my Instagram there and look at my sign. Because I know that you haven't seen it yet. So I have made a sign because obviously I've run half marathons. I know the importance of when you're struggling to see a sign as you're running along.
Yes, I love that. Run like you're chasing Colin Farrell. Oh, my God. And look at Tally. She looks different every time I see her.
And guess who saw my sign?
Who?
Colin Farrell.
Stop.
Colin Farrell was running the Dublin Marathon this year. It's been the talk of the town and we were tracking him. And I was standing there with my big sign saying, run like you're chasing Colin Farrell. And Colin Farrell was running towards me and he obviously caught his name. You know, so we did this like double take thing and then he ran past me just like staring at my sign. And I was like, But if you want joy, to find the joy, chase the joy, go and watch a marathon or a half marathon. It's honestly the most inspiring thing you will ever do. Just seeing people push through, you know, you can see the pain on their face. You can see how much the support means. And to just put one foot in front of the other and just to keep going, it's insane.
It's amazing. And you're right, that collective support for people who are on the edge, like literally on their knees. My friend Amy, her husband Ferg was running and I was logging on so I could give him some support and sponsor him. And, you know, I was just reading about his journey where he was saying getting up at shit o'clock in the morning in the dark, losing toenails. It's just like, why do you do this, you crazy folks?
Am I imagining this or did you say you went on a date once to watch a marathon?
That would definitely be something I would do, but it wasn't me.
OK, maybe we were talking about that's what you should do on a date.
It would be a good place to meet somebody, though.
Well, let me just tell you, Colin Farrell looked very dishy.
Did he? And he was like, how many miles did he run at that point?
Like 30 kilometres.
Actually, you know what? I'd written Colin Farrell down in my notes for this week, actually, because I've been watching The Penguin and he is amazing. It's such a good series. Ordinarily, I wouldn't be into this kind of thing. It's not my sort of TV. He is unrecognizable as Oz, the Penguin. And he, the series is just so well made. Production values and everything are brilliant. So if you're looking for something to watch, Colin Farrell is your man.
Oh, he's amazing. He was on Ray Darcy during the week and Ray said something to him like, do you believe in, it was kind of like, you know, the stuff that we're into. Do you believe in all the bits and bobs, you know? Mm-hmm. And Colin was like, yeah, no, I think about it. And he goes like, I think about what makes, why did I get to be born? What did he say? Like with the life that I live and then someone else gets to be born with the life that they have to live or the struggles that they have to face or the things that they have to overcome. And, you know, he gets to be a Hollywood A-lister, you know, like how are we chosen in these? Why do some of us have to suffer and some of us don't? Well, I suppose we all suffer in our own ways. But he said something so inspiring because he's running for his friend. He says, like, the people who face adversity are almost not chosen, but often they use what they're facing for the good of the world because they're strong enough to do so. And I thought that was so beautiful because we often get, you know, diagnosed with things and you can sit around and wonder why me, as you're perfectly entitled to, but to use it to help others is such a gift. And sometimes in the really tough moments of me having breast cancer as such a young person, I was like, maybe I was chosen just to tell other young people, you know, and that helps you face the day sometimes.
I was just going to say that to you, like, acknowledge your own story in that way, because as soon as you were done, you know, not even as soon as you were done digesting the fact that you had cancer, you were like, right, what do I do next? You know, how can I transform from this?
It's like what Simon Sinek said to Diary of a CEO. We give him a lot of plugs, don't we?
Stephen, yeah.
But Simon Sinek was like, you know, why should I keep trying to help someone who doesn't want help? He was talking about one of his friends. You know, I'm trying to help him through a tough time. He doesn't want help. He doesn't want to accept help. Blah, 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 blah. Should I just abandon that person? And Simon Sinek was like, not everybody wants help. Some people need to be empowered. Some people need to help others in order to help themselves. And I actually think that's what happened to me, is that I didn't want to just sit around. And of course, I had to accept help to a certain extent, because I needed help to survive. But I wanted to have a purpose every day. And I think by helping others, that helped me face the day.
Definitely. Well, that's the choice you make, I guess. When you are struck down or you're challenged in some way, you either you close the shutters or you reach out to the world and to a community and find the strength there.
So did you go chase any joy this week?
I took myself on a date last night.
Ooh.
So my Inferno Hot Pilates teacher, Michael, was telling me yesterday after class that he had been to see The Substance with Demi Moore. And his mind was completely blown by it. And I had seen little bits and pieces about this movie, but I had never really considered going to it. I was like, yeah, it's just, you know, I'd seen that it was all about Demi Moore was a presenter, a fitness presenter in celebrity in Hollywood. And at age 50, she was told by this Harvey Weinstein-esque boss, TV boss, you're done. We need a younger version of you. And then she ends up, I won't say how, if you're going to watch this, because it's streaming now on Apple, so I really think you should watch it. But she ends up getting an opportunity to become a, inverted commas, better, younger version of herself by consuming this substance. and she agrees to do it. And so what happens is a younger, better version of her emerges from her. So it's like a kind of a comedy horror in a way. And Demi Moore plays the character out of her skin. Like, we haven't seen sight nor sound of Demi Moore for a long time. But actually watching her on screen last night, I was like, this woman should be getting all the awards. But there's such a good message in it for, like, can I just tell you why I decided I'd go to this movie, aside from the fact that it was recommended by Michael? Mm-hmm. You and I got our makeup done by the lovely Celine for our live show in the Sugar Club recently. And I haven't had makeup applied to my face for a long time. Like, it's been a long time since I've had a face of makeup put on. And interestingly, I said to people afterwards, including my mum, like, did I have loads of makeup on my face? And all of them were like, no, didn't, what? So I wear makeup every day, by the way. So I always wear mascara. I will do my eyebrows and I'll always cover up I'll use concealer at least. So it's not like I don't want makeup on my face. I do, in fact. It's my armor. So it prompted me to think, do you feel unworthy if you leave the house without makeup? And that is yes, 100%. Find it difficult to make eye contact with people without mascara on. Find it difficult to go and enjoy my day without makeup on. Not a lot, but enough to cover what I believe to be my imperfections. And so twice since the show, I have gone out without any makeup on my face. And I just want, if you're listening to this and you think this is ridiculous, it is ridiculous. But I just want you to ask yourself, what's your thing? Like, do you wear a long t-shirt that covers your bum? Do you wear white? Do you wear big jeans instead of skinny jeans, you know, and not leggings? Do you wear a cap when you're having a bad hair day? Like, what's your thing? You know, and so I identified my thing and I have pushed through 2 days of wearing nothing on my face and having conversations with people and like fighting the inner voice that's saying they're looking at you and saying, Jesus, she's ugly. So that obviously is not happening, but that's the voice that's in my head. So when I got prompted to go and watch The Substance, which is about the physicality of women and the aging process, mm-hmm. I was like, I need to sit and watch this because yeah. I put on makeup every single day. Half of it's vanity, half of it's self-loathing, right?
Yeah.
That's what it is. So it's too much of both of those things. And I'm aware of that. And I want now at 43, nearly 44, to just find liberation where it never existed before.
I love that because that's what Pamela Anderson is doing for the world, right?
Yes. And that's the other thing that I should have mentioned. And thank you for bringing that up. I saw Drew Barrymore presenting her show with Pamela Anderson without makeup on. And Drew took off her hair extensions in the middle of it. If you want to go and find the clip, it's just like, woohoo, you know?
Yeah. And when you didn't wear makeup, did you think anyone looked at you differently?
The voice inside me was saying, you are not up to scratch. But this, so the I suppose for me, that all goes back to I had bad acne as a teen. And it's funny, Trini Woodle was on Dish lately and she was talking about having bad acne when she was younger. And she was saying people used to speak to her spots and not to her.
They'd
be looking at her face and like just looking at her acne. And that exactly that same thing used to go on for me. Like, it's like having big boobs and people just talk to your boobs. You know?
Yeah.
So that happened to me, you know, for many, many years of my life. And I suppose that was the internalized stuff that is now feels like it's coming, like it's bubbling up First was the show, then there was Drew Barrymore and Pamela Anderson, then there was The Substance, and now I've just cried about it. So it's gone.
It's so good because I, at the show, because you basically said it was linked from when you were on TV before and how you felt during that time. Because obviously for TV, you've got to wear a lot of makeup to even look normal on a screen. So It's amazing that you've gone on that journey since the show. That's so cool. But by the way, you looked absolutely stunning at the show, but you look stunning to me, like whatever way you show up, because I feel like you glow from the inside out. Do you know what I mean? I'm not looking at your face. It's how you make people feel. It's your energy. I would say even, and this is, I think, something that we both would have in common, is that we hide even more so behind our humor than our makeup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? I'm sometimes like, tone it down. Like, not that I'm the funniest person in the room by any means, but what I mean is like, stop trying to make a joke all the time. This moment doesn't need a joke. So I sometimes have to rein myself in from wanting to make a joke in a situation when I first meet someone.
So that's your thing. I love the fact you've identified that, because I also have felt that in my life, and particularly over here in the UK, because I think we as Irish people, like, you're just trying to fit in. So who do you become? You know, you become, oh, I'm just going to put everyone at ease. But actually what you're doing is you're creating dis-ease for yourself, because you're like out there walking the plank, the comedy plank. And then people are looking at you going, all right, chill out, man, chill out.
I was in Alison Keating's house, you know, the psychologist. Yeah. Like, she's gorgeous, and her husband is also gorgeous, and they live in this beautiful house, and I'd never met her husband Thomas before, and we recorded this gorgeous podcast it's coming soon on the Good Glow Health. But anyway, me and her husband and Alison, we had a great chat for about 15 minutes before the podcast, and then we're like, Jesus, we better go and do it. And he went off, and then he came back down at the end, and I was like, oh my God, like, it was so great to meet you. And I was like, sure, next time I come here, I might sleep over. And I could see him going, so, what do you mean? Like, what? And then in my head, I just popped in like, swingers, truffle. Like, are they thinking that I'm saying that to them? And then I was like, just call it out. Don't, you're going to freak out about this later. You need to acknowledge it. I was like, geez, I don't know why I said that. I just mean your house is so gorgeous. Like, it's like a hotel. You could stay over. And then I was like, but now, you know, I'm going to be driving home in my car being like, why did you say that? That's so weird. And he laughed. But I was like, God, thank God I said that. But also I was like, why did I say it in the first place?
That is so funny. Like, of all things you could reach for, I'd love to come again. Maybe I'll come back for lunch. You were like, I might sleep over. I might stay. You might stay? Okay. Oh. Okay, let's talk toothpaste. Big thanks to Colgate Max White Ultra, our beautiful partners, for supporting Soul Sisters this season. Unlike regular whitening toothpastes that only remove surface stains, Colgate Max White Ultra's unique formula goes beyond the surface to whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Georgie, give me your smile moment, please.
Oh, well, so I was in A&E, my safe place. I was in A&E and I was like, if I have to go and get an operation on my appendix, my family will not survive without me, because the fridge is empty and it's too much for Jamie to take on. So I decided to do my shopping online on my Dunnes app. So I take out my Dunnes app, I fill up my basket trolley thing, and I check out and I click on same day delivery. And that means that a person goes into the supermarket and does your shopping for you. It's like the Buy Me app or something. I get a call 2 hours later from this lad, and he was like, how's it going? I'm outside your house with all your shopping. And I was like, brilliant. Would you mind leaving it on the doorstep? And he was like, what? He's like, but you didn't select any bags. And I was like, right. Is it not in a crate? And he was like, no. He goes, do you know what? I have a bag. I can put it all in and then I can come back later and collect the bag. And I was like, oh, I don't want you to do that. I was like, I'll drop it to you. Where do you live? He said, Blanchardstown. I said, right, that's not going to work for me. That's too far from my house. What can we do? And he goes, no, honestly, I'm going to put them all into the bag and I'll swing by later and I'll get it. And I said, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. So he comes back. I'm at home. It's 8 o'clock. I've gotten the all clear. I'm putting Tally to bed. I swear to God, I've never felt grat. I felt like kissing the ground when I got out of the hospital, because I know not everybody gets to leave A&E and go back to their life as they knew it. So I felt extremely lucky and extremely grateful. And he came by to get his bag at 8 o'clock, the poor lad. So do you know what I gave him?
Colgate Max White Ultra.
Yeah. I had some stuff left over from the show in my hall, so he left a little goodie bag. I put in his bag a Colgate whitening pen, a tube of Colgate Max White Ultra, a big thing of mouthwash and a toothbrush. And I said, buddy, thank you so much. This is a gift from me. And he was like, thank you. That to me was like such a nice deed that he did to me. So I was like, he deserves some Colgate Max White Ultra in his life.
Oh, wow. I just love that. What a great reason to smile. Colgate Max White Ultra's whitening technology has been backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works. It will help you feel radiant, confident and empowered in those important life moments where you want to smile like you mean it. So, recommends this week. This time last year, I was contacted by an amazing soul sister called Doreen O'Mahony. And Doreen O'Mahony is from West Cork and Ballydehob. And West Cork was somewhere that I had been as a child, but I really wanted to go back to. And I think I may have mentioned it actually this time last year on Soul Sisters that I wanted to go back. Anyway, didn't Doreen pull a few strings for me? And she invited me down to her parents' place, which is called The Stable at Casa Clarig. And it's a West Cork cabin with a sauna. So it was, oh, when I tell you, I went down. So when I went, it was Christmas time. It was between Christmas and New Year. And as a single gal who spends Christmas with her parents and her family, it was ideal for me and my friend Catherine to escape for a few days and to go down to West Cork. But I wanted to give Doreen and her parents, Martin and Monica, a shout out because they have really cozy little holiday cabins, and right beside the holiday cabins are the sauna, and right beside the sauna are two individual bathrooms. So there's baths, there's candles, and you can hear like the rain on the roof.
Fab.
Honestly, it was so memorable. Catherine and I loved it so much. We booked to go back and we went back again in March 24. As soon as I got down, the first thing I heard from the locals was Paul Mescal had bought a place down there and Saoirse Ronan has a place in Ballydehob.
Jesus.
So the stable at Casa Clarig, C-A-S-A-C-L-A-R-I-G, West Cork, cabin with a sauna.
Savage. Actually, that reminds me, I got a message from a soul sister during the week that said, I'm listening to your podcast and I burst out laughing because I bumped in to Chris O'Dowd in LA and I told him that my granny lives in Boyle. Oh, it's so funny. Okay, so brilliant. What I'm recommending this week, the Happy Pair have brought out a new book and they sent me this book and they went, Georgie, keep on glowing. All of our love. Thanks for your support. Veg Power, Dave and Steve. Oh. And actually, there's gorgeous recipes in this. Do you, well, obviously you love Indian food. Do you ever have, is it called chana masala? It's the chickpea dish.
Oh, delicious.
They have a recipe for that in here and I'm going to make it during the week and I'll post it on my Instagram because I love a really quick Indian recipe and it
looks like, according to the happy pair, that it takes under 20 minutes to make. So I'll do some investigating for us soul sisters this week. One more thing that I wanted to just recommend, if you're listening to the podcast this week and you feel overwhelmed. I went for a trail run on Thursday and I really wanted to go to the sauna and steam room afterwards, but I'd have to drive there like for 15 minutes. So I was packing my bag and I was feeling really guilty because I was like, I should be working. And I was going out the door and I turned around and I came back in and Jamie said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm not going. I can't. I'm mad doing this. I'm going to lose an hour." And he was like, "Go." And I went and I got so many inspiring ideas for my Christmas show, Slow Down to Speed Up. Slow Down to Speed Up. So if any soul sisters, you know, and I was talking to Alison Keating about this as well, like if we're not giving to ourselves, everything else is a struggle and we're slowing ourselves down in the long term. So if you need a break this week, take the 10 minutes for yourself, get the early night, just do something for yourself. Look at all those people out running the Dublin Marathon. Like they all had to go out and train for that and make the time and look at the payoff.
Yeah. I saved something on Instagram. And you know the way we always talk about this, you save something on Instagram and you never see it again. Mm-hmm. I saved something about saunas that was really, really good. And I might just read it back to you. So scientists, this is from Dr. Mark Hyman. You follow him. And he said, scientists rigorously looked at the risk of death and cardiac events in more than 2,000 Finnish sauna users over 20 years. Since nearly everyone in Finland uses saunas at least once a week, that was the control group. The average temperature in the sauna was 174 degrees Fahrenheit. Those who used a sauna 2 to 3 times a week had a 24% lower risk of death. The hardcore users who went 4 to 7 times a week had a 40% reduction in death compared to those who went for just one session. Spending 20 minutes versus 10 minutes in the sauna gives you 52% lower risk of cardiac death. So next time you go, add 10 minutes to your session.
I thought you were going to say add 10 minutes to your life.
20 minutes in the heated room is brilliant for you.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Solon.
Yeehaw. Happy Halloween, everyone.
Oh, before we go, can I mention our Christmas show? We've got about 80 tickets left for the National Concert Hall. It's happening on the 1st of December. It's all coming together now. It's going to be a great show. NCH.ie for tickets, or I'll leave a link in the show notes.
Fab. See you next week, friends.